I have a story for the children. The story is called Anansi and the Witch Maiden Frog. Paper plate, I have five little piles of corn. So I'm looking at it, see it, but you can, you adults, I know can't see it, but you can imagine it. Popcorn, so it's really nice. No, you don't need that. It's too hard. It's too hot. And this is Anansi the spider, and he's going to sit on one pile of corn. So Anansi was a trickster spider. He lived in West Africa. And this particular year was a year of famine and drought all over the land. And Anansi had to figure out a way to survive, to make sure that his family could eat. Now, in the same village where Anansi lived, there was an evil witch, and her name was Five. And she hated her name. And so she figured that she would kill anybody who said her name. So Anansi got thinking. He said, I will trick people into saying her name, and that will give me some food. So he happened to have just a little bit of corn left. So he put it into five piles. And then he sat down on one of them, and he waited till Mrs. Rabbit came by. And he said, Mrs. Rabbit, wouldn't you like to have some corn for your children? And of course, it was famine time, so Mrs. Rabbit said, yes, of course. If you can tell me how many piles of corn there are, I'll let you have one. And so Mrs. Rabbit counted. One, these are smart rabbits. One, two, three, four, five. Oh, she dropped dead because of the evil witch. So Anansi the spider took the rabbit home and had, and the missus cooked it. And they had food for weeks. And so after a little while, you know, when the rabbit was all eaten up, they weren't vegetarian, obviously, it was time to do this again. So Anansi did the same thing, had this five piles of corn. This time Mrs. Squirrel came by. Mrs. Squirrel, wouldn't you like to have some corn? All you have to do is tell me how many piles there are, and I'll let you have one. So Mrs. Squirrel was also a smart squirrel. She could count. One, two, three, four, five. Boom, dead. And so Anansi took the squirrel home, and they had food for weeks. Well, it happened again. Well, this time the person that came by was Mrs. Goose. Now, Mrs. Goose knew that Anansi was a trickster, so she was very careful. So when Anansi said, if you'll tell me how many piles of corn there are, I'll give you one. Mrs. Goose was very wary. She said, one, two, three, four, and the one you're sitting on. No, 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 that's not right. Count it right. One, two, three, four, and the one you're sitting on. No, 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 you can't do that. You have to count it right. One, two, three, four, and the one you're sitting on. No, 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 no. You had to do it right. Like one, two, three, four, five. Boom, dead. So the spider was dead. The trickster tricked himself. Not only had Mrs. Goose tricked the trickster, she had now how many piles of corn? That's our story. It was April Fool's Day yesterday. Did anyone get fooled or play a fool? Oh, good. When I was growing up, it was never a big deal in our house. No one ever had that kind of humor. But it seemed like it was a good time to talk about tricksters and such. Fools and tricksters aren't part of our culture like they are in the Southwest or in the Northwest Coast Indian culture. But of course, the raven does get away with the darndest things. And maybe you've seen Coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons yourself.
Anansi, the spider from our story for all ages, is one of the most popular West African mythological figures, a trickster, of course, in his own right. He is sometimes regarded as the creator of sun and the moon and the stars, as well as the one who instituted the succession of day and night. It is also believed that he created the first person. A typical trickster, he is crafty, sly, villainous, but he also taught humans how to sow grain and how to use a shovel in the fields. And like Coyote in the Roadrunner cartoons, he comes to grief himself, victim of his own trick. A local trickster is often the regional animal known for its cunning and mischievousness. The role of the trickster, whatever its shape, is to challenge convention. They turn our cherished beliefs and rules on their heads. We have to rethink the truths that we are so sure of. Wes Nisker, in his book Crazy Wisdom, says, "They spread doubt about our beliefs, our abilities, our motives, our institutions, our sanity, our loves, our laws, our leaders, even our alliteration." Clowns and jesters have grave doubts about our attitudes. Is this seriousness really appropriate? They ask. Others, such as the spiritual crazy wisdom masters, the holy fools, call into question our entire understanding of ourselves and the world. Islam, too, has given us a holy fool, Mullah Nasruddin. As Mullah, Nasruddin is supposed to be the revered teacher and leader, but usually he turns out to be the village idiot or the eccentric sage. There are many, many stories about Nasruddin. Here is one about him as preacher. When Nasruddin was asked to speak to the congregation at the mosque, he went up to the front and asked, "O people, do you know what I have come to tell you?" And the crowd answered, "No." Nasruddin then said, "If you don't know what I have come to tell you, then you are too ignorant to understand what I was going to say." So he left the mosque. But the people knew he had great wisdom, so they invited him back the next week. This time, when Nasruddin asked the congregation if they knew what he was going to tell them, the crowd answered, "Yes." "Fine," said Nasruddin, "then I don't need to waste your time." And again, he left the mosque. And once again, the people invited him back, thinking that the next time they could convince him to talk. And when he arrived the next week, he asked the same question, "Do you know what I'm going to tell you?" And this time, half of the congregation said, "No." And the other half said,
"Yes."
"Fine, then those who know should tell those who don't know, and I'll be on my way." In Native American culture, the trickster is the one who shows children how not to behave. Reverend Ed Piper, having focused his doctoral research on tricksters, says, "In Native American culture, the trickster has been sent by the Creator to teach humans how to live on Earth, but he bungles this responsibility through his self-indulgence. And so he becomes a symbol of the ambiguity of good and evil and the essential statement of the human condition. We all screw up." Trickster stories teach what happens as a result of stupidity, gluttony, lust, and arrogance. A trickster figure more familiar to our Christian culture is Jesus. Think of the parables and how puzzling they are. They seem so contrary to common sense. Reverend Charles Eddis from Montreal gives an example in his sermon, God's Fool Jesus. He says, "Consider the parable of the mustard seed. What is the kingdom of God like? It is like a mustard seed that a man took and tossed into his garden. It grew and became a tree, and the birds of the sky rooted in its branches." Well, mustard is a noxious, undesirable weed. No one in their right mind walks through a garden carelessly tossing about the seeds of weeds. Jesus was a Jew. In Judaism, the very mixing of seeds in a garden is forbidden. Weeds do not know their place. No one wants them in their garden. For a mustard plant to become so large that birds root nest in its branches is ridiculous. Its full height is only a few inches. No farmer takes kindly towards birds looking on their newly planted seeds with greedy eyes. If you had been a Jewish farmer hearing this brief story out of the blue, you would have had to smile at all this incongruity, or perhaps wonder. The story was perhaps heard against an image that you will find in the book of Ezekiel and in Daniel of the mighty tree on top of the mountain, or reaching to heaven on which birds nest. Instead of a cedar of Lebanon, Jesus portrayed birds perching on a mustard seed plant. If you had been living in Palestine in the time of Jesus and listening to him, this innocent vignette would have taken on a subversive meaning. The parable of the mustard seed was a coded message for defiance against the Roman Empire. Consider what the conditions were like for the farmers of those days. Mr. Edis says, the dominant fact was the presence of the Roman Empire. Rome was a commercialized agrarian empire. Agriculture was the basis of the economy. A tiny elite took the surplus from the producers through taxation. 1 to 2% of the population of the empire took 50 to 65% of the empire's agricultural production. The result was crushing taxation, increasing indebtedness, loss of family farms, poverty, destitution. Beneath the surface of the peace enforced by Roman soldiers, unrest and anger seethed. Into this brew Jesus tossed his parable. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed. Mustard seed, his hearers knew, would wreak havoc in a garden. Jesus was asking his listeners to reframe their situation, to see a new perspective. Jesus often did things contrary-wise, like any good trickster. It grabs attention when you do that. It may even shock the observer to the point of trance. You pay more attention to the unexpected. We too can be tricksters. We can encourage others to question the traditional view on things. Forgot my hat. You'll remember this hat. It was given to me as part of my role. We can encourage others to question the traditional view on things, whether that be for the wisdom that government no longer has funding for affordable housing, or that it's too late to do anything about global warming. We can be curious like the trickster and ask the off-kilter questions. We can take on the trickster's attitude to life and his ability to survive through laughter. I believe it is through their laughter and uncommon point of view that tricksters accomplish the transformation that they seek. Trickster energy lets us wiggle around the established ways of doing things to find new routes to wholeness, new patterns, new structures. Humor is such a part of trickster energy. It opens the heart and opens us up to new perceptions. As the Cherokee author Thomas King says, put on the kettle, wipe up the coyote tracks off the floor. It's time for tea.